Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg, and joining me is John and Pat this morning. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good
evening. Konnichiwa.
Hello.
My. What? It is nice, cool, and crisp. There's just nothing. I couldn't believe that.
Love it.
In Tampa, it was 42, I think they said. 42
wow.
degrees in Tampa.
Tampa, wow.
I think it was 42 or 60. I think it was 42 this morning. I'm thinking, my goodness gracious.
I love it.
And I think it's like a sunny 98 in New Jersey this morning.
Yeah.
Give a shout out also to New York, to Joanne. In New York, as you're riding in, or probably there at work already this morning. Give a big shout out also to Houston and all that's taking place over there as you guys are rocking Texas for Jesus over there. Mm. A big shout out to all those on the Emerald Coast as well. You're listening to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Also, I want to give a shout out to Ian this morning. We are lifting you up.
Yes.
I understand you had a bull ride. You had a bull ride at the rodeo or something and doing a shoot. Or is it a bull ride or is it a horse ride?
I don't know,
is
man. If I had crutches, I'd bring them to you. If I had some crutches, I'd pick you up, brother.
No, he said he hasn't. He has them already.
Doesn't he know how old he is now?
He's old. He told me he's old.
He's got a lot of gray hair. Does
he really have gray hair?
Does he?
Does he have gray hair? Oh man, he pays goodness. Attention,
he's
don't
gonna,
he?
He's going to come get you now.
He's paying attention on his crutches.
Okay.
Well, we're going to be talking today in our program, and just want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience from around the nation, and also our WHBR audience from the Emerald Coast, the 1,400,000 households on the all the way from Destin to Mississippi, and all of our audience around the world.
Mm.
You're listening to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Well, we're going to be talking about today and continuing the last little part of about organization and organizing, because we want to be able to wrap up. You know, what does it mean to be American? How do we respond to that? And I began to close it out yesterday, and I'm going to wrap it up today. And it's all going to be made available to our viewers and our listeners. You can find out more about it at vfntv.com. Very important, because even though it's being used in so many different places, it's always been used.
Mm-hmm.
And if a school bully can use it at the schoolyard before they even know how to read, then it's a typical dark response for second heaven.
That's
Ephesians
right.
chapter 6, verse 12. So we need to be wise. We need to be wise in how the adversary moves and what he does, and that we understand that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Also, this has been on my heart for quite some time. Speaking of that, and you'll probably be hearing it during that segment, is, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe was an apostle by God, sent by God to be able to bring us to the original tent, God's original tent for this nation, and to live up to, as he put it, he says what he says. He says, all we say to America is be true to what's said on the paper,
mm-hmm.
the Constitution. And it's just, I was like, yes, so yes. And so I'm excited about being able to hear him and just share a right perspective of what who I believe was an apostle sent by God that brought us to God's original tent for this nation, to the papers, what was written on the papers in the Constitution. Also, we're talking about perspective matters. You'll find out when you're getting heavy and your enemy's really just kind of firing all these darts at you and people are running to you and you feel like, I know I'm not Joe, but I feel like a close relative to him right now. If anybody else texts me, calls me, emails me, hey, I just want to let you know it's all falling apart. Those kind of things. That if you just change your perspective, and we're going to talk about perspective matters.
Mm.
And at any moment, you can just change your perspective when things are coming in, when things seem dark and just seems like, you know, maybe you feel like maybe hopeless. I'm going to share with you some wisdom that you're going to be able to hear. You're going to be able to watch on CTN, but also you're going to be able to maybe put it on your iPhone or your Android device, or whatever, how you listen to all these smart devices and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or your computer, and just go back and listen to it and just say, you know what? That's the true perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That is the light perspective. I just needed perspective matters. I just, all of a sudden, I got tunnel vision. I got focused in on this vast situation, the truth is I just needed to look up.
That's it.
And so we'll be talking about that as well. Also, I thought was pretty interesting. The Lord reminded me of this as we've been walking out Ezekiel 33, EZ 12, Ezekiel 12. And
.org.
Who doesn't necessarily want to be, I mean, you know, if you're called to be the watchman on the wall, and if you haven't yet heard, you need to hear when I was in the Navy and I was supposed to be on watch on the quarterdeck.
Oh.
And long story short, and you can hear it, hopefully it'll be just a related
thank God the union was safe, nothing happened.
Yeah, right.
Thank the Lord Jesus. We weren't under any kind of surveillance, but
we'll just get to the end of it real quick. Like, the captain woke me up in a fan room because it was warm. But if he wasn't being thrown out of his house by his wife, I would have been in trouble. So he was a little distracted at the time. You got to hear that. You've got to hear that. And this is, we want to be a watchman on the wall. We want to be a watchman on the wall. And so he says, when I'm fashioning a sword, I'm bringing a storm against you, for example. That's what he says. That if you select for yourself a watchman who stands on the wall, you need to listen to him because he's going to warn you. He will see this and he'll be able to tell you. And now God holds that man and woman accountable for what he's showing them. So you have to tell them. Well, you know, I'm going to share about this particular banner that was made up by Jennifer Cawley. She had a ministry at the time called The Vision Speaks. And my spiritual father, Brother John Kilpatrick, had asked her during the Brownsville Revival to make some prior to the Brownsville Revival, to make some banners up. And one of them was called the Catastrophic Banner.
Mm-hmm.
The Catastrophic Banner. And another one is like Family Banner. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart's always been for the Father's heart and family and that type of situation. And so for some reason, and when the, so you would go and pray over each of these banners, but I'll talk more about that. But when the pastors would come from around the nation, around the world, during the revival, we would bring these banners out and wave the banners before over the pastors so they could see, you know, important aspects of what God's values are. And I could never figure out. It's like, we need somebody to carry the catastrophe banner. You know, I'll do it, whatever you want me to do. And it's like, my goodness, catastrophic? I mean, okay, I'll carry it, you know, and I just carried it like everybody else. And then another one came. And they asked me again, would you carry the catastrophic banner? I was like, I think I probably should have the family banner. I should have the family. And then another one, a catastrophic banner. And so we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to show you the banner. Actually, Jennifer sent me a picture of the banner.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It's like, oh, now I see a watchman on the wall. And so you're going to get to see this banner that was carried and waved over the church. And God poured himself out mightily. The question is, did we change?
Hmm.
Did we change? Did we turn away? Or did we just enjoy the presence of the Lord and walk away unchanged? Mm-hmm. Stirred, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
not shaken.
Not shaken.
Not shaken. And so in the context of that, we'll be talking about that. Also, hopefully we get a chance here in the first and second extra hour today. We're going to be talking about a children's rhyme called Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Mo.
Hmm.
And I mean, the Lord has been speaking this over the years to me about it. And it has to do with selective birthing through abortion.
Hmm.
And I'll be talking about it. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Eeny, meeny, miny, molech. Because this is the one God hated the most, the false God, because they sacrificed children to him.
Yeah.
To them. So we'll be talking about that as well. And your field of ministry. You know, it's like, hey, man, it's time to play ball.
Mm.
It's time to play. Don't get your feet on the grass if you're not going to run the ball. If you're not going to block, if you're not going to make a hole, if you're not going to run for a pass, if you're not going to listen to the quarterback, I mean, you got to find out whose team you're on. You know what I'm saying? Pick a team, pick a side, and let's go. Let's play ball. Mm. We're playing ball. But get off the field, you're not going to play. But we need players. We need people that are going to get into the game. And began to say, here I am, I will play to the ring. I will play to the end. I will play till my Lord returns. And hopefully get a chance to be able to talk more about the importance of gratitude and obedience.
Yes, listen, we want to support our underwriters and our sponsors today, VFN Radio program you're watching on television. We want you to visit Just Fish and Grits. Now, there's some funny stories behind Grits. We won't mention those today. But let me funny? Tell you.
Oh, come on.
There's nothing funny. No, There's nothing funny about grits are very serious commodity.
Very serious. I
had some last night. As a matter
I tried
fact.
One
I had
once.
Cheese grits last
That's
night.
That's a delicacy. What are you talking
well,
about?
Well, I tried one once and.
One grit?
I tried it once.
Oh, wow.
But let me tell you, Kathy and Gary, wonderful, wonderful folks. Every time when I walked in there, everybody was eating fish and grits. It was smelled wonderful.
Oh, what a beautiful combination.
My goodness. Let me tell you something. The place was packed. You want to visit them, Town and Country Plaza in Pensacola.
Oh, goodness. My goodness.
And also, if you're in the need for a security system, for your business, for your home, ADTS in Pensacola, there's a number that you can, you'll see on the screen. Give them a call. They have everything you need to keep your home and your business safe. All sorts of monitoring. Pat, even on your phone, you can remotely have surveillance for your house.
Wow.
Surveillance. Oh, my goodness. That's, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When I was looking this morning and I was watching so many things, and just it's amazing what's taking place today. There is so much information coming our way. We have to find out what matters most. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to pick and choose what we're going to give our time to, what we're going to give our ears to, what we're going to talk to God about, because there's so much. And the most, and you can get really busy about other people's business. That's why they call it busybodies. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, God, what is your business? I want to be busy about your business. And I mean, so much information comes in. It's real easy to get just useless data. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that we try not to do is we want to be able to give you a light perspective of what's going on, and also an encouraging perspective, and to share with you meat of God's word that helps you build your strength up, your spiritual muscle up, so you can stand strong in the days of testing the things that are going on. Well, you know, for quite some time, you know, we've been talking about is America being organized? And is the world being organized? If so, for what reason? Mm-hmm. We've been asking that question. And we came to we've been discussing those tactics that are written about in the book that's dedicated to Lucifer. And in it, it's Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. It's dedicated to Lucifer in the front, which we talked about yesterday. And but at the very end, it's dedicated to it wasn't when he was president. It was, he taught these tactics for 4 years, President Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton wrote an essay on it, her thesis on it, and it's sealed today. And so we're finding out, man, this has really been some really good perspective, because we're understanding how, you know, God wants things done, and how if we're moving in the natural sense, how the tendency, our flesh or the world would want things done, or darkness would want things done. And so we're talking about the right perspective. And as I was talking yesterday, and this is the final part, is that who is the example? Who is the Christian American? Of course, we're talking, this is to the church, to Christians, and those that the Lord's drawing to him. And who is the one person, the Christian American, who set the example? Who set the example for us as Christian Americans to be able to walk out what is in the Constitution under the guidelines of God? And I believe, without any doubt, that was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe was an apostle sent by God to be able to bring us up to God's original intent for this nation. And when we get back from this break, we're going to hear exactly what he said.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do Bible clubs and public schools have the same rights as other clubs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter, who is in eighth grade, she wants to have a Bible study after school, which has been done there before. She has been told that she can't make any announcements. She can't hand out any flyers.
Are the other clubs allowed to utilize these other medium for the communication about their clubs?
My understanding is yes, and I know in the same district with the high school, they hand out all kinds of things.
Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Equal access means that it's the same access to the school medium, that is the public address system, the newspaper, the community bulletin boards, the club fair, those kind of things. They should be given the same rights as any other after-school group. So let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we will get you some help on this right away.
Learn more about student rights and the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion and then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I am about to, you're about to hear Dr. King just in a moment. And this is so important, the perspective, understand the perspective. And I want to say again, this is so important. This is so important because understand, you know, America is America, so everything we do has to happen in the context of how God set this nation up and allowed it to exist. And we have a constitution. And a constitution, imagine if you are a fish in a fish bowl, a fish aquarium, and this water is being held in by the sides of this aquarium. And you could do whatever you want to inside those walls of that aquarium, but if you break outside those walls of those aquariums, those boundaries that God set up over you as a fish, and that then you're going to spill out all over the place. Mm-hmm. Does it really matter at that point what your argument or your viewpoint is? And but you need to be able to, so you can imagine that fish tank being for us the Constitution, that everything we do needs to happen in the context of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're made up of. That's we operate in the context mm-hmm. of that. And a lot of lingo that you're hearing on C-SPAN articles and amendments and that type of thing, they're actually saying what we need to understand. This is why we're here. This is what's going on. And we need to actually learn the Constitution. We need to learn the Constitution. And when Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe is and was an apostle sent by God to bring us up to God's original intent for this nation, because I mean, he did. I mean, he stood up and began to say, you know, this is unjust. This is what the Constitution is, justice for all.
Right.
And this is the original intent. And so what he said and what he's talking about here, he's talking about, you know, to America, and that's what we're talking to America, about God and country in that order and Israel. And what he's saying here very specifically is when he's talking about the papers, he's talking about the Constitution. Listen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly, somewhere I read, of the freedom of speech, somewhere I read, of the freedom of press, somewhere I read, that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
You cannot add one thing to what Dr. King had just said, for truly, that's our heartbeat. That's our heartbeat. And we, when you make the decision to stand up for what's right, when darkness is being organized against you, when a bipolar narrative to the actual Constitution is being pushed against you for decades, you know, what was happening with Dr. King and the African-American people at that time, understand he was organizing in the day. He was organizing for the light.
That's right.
He was organizing for what was right. He was organizing in the context of the fishbowl of the Constitution. That's why he said, America, I'm only saying, we're just holding to you what's on the paper. And what he's talking about is something that you need to take the time to read. You need to read the Constitution of the United States. You need to read the Declaration of Independence. There's a reason why that 150 years after King James passed, that they were signing the Declaration of Independence, declaring our independence from a king, because God introduced himself when man found the Word of God. The Bible was brought back into the hands of men. And we found out when we met the God of the Bible that we could be one nation under God. And so they declare their independence from a king. And we knew that we could actually be a government by the people and for the people. And they wrote 27 reasons in the Declaration of Independence why they're going to declare our independence in July 4th of 1776. And in this particular declaration, they wrote, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident. These are just self-evident, which means we just know. We have this. We don't want to lose this. We hold this truth to be self-evident. I'm reading from the Declaration of Independence, what began this nation, the original ten. We're only holding you to what's on the paper. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator. That's God, folks. Empowered by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, this is it. This is what we do. And then it goes on to say, and to secure these rights, to make sure they're not taken away from each every human being, citizen of America, government rights are instituted amongst men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. That means you, folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are the ones who choose who's going to be in power and what they're going to do. That's why Dr. King could stand up in the context of the Constitution, stand up under the Lord's hand, and just walk rightly and say, "This, we're just going to go back to the papers. We need to get back to God as the church. In America, we need to get back to the founding fathers' original intent for this nation, why God lifted it up." It goes on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, which is rights, people's rights, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish or to institute new governments, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness of the people there. I mean, think about it. It's like It's based on the people. That's why we can stand up legally under the law, biblically, under God, in the context of what we're doing, and say, you know what? There's a rebellion taking place against the original ten of the founding fathers. There's a rebellion taking place against the original purposes of why God blessed this nation. It's a rebellion, an organized rebellion being led against God, against the Constitution, against Christians, against Jews, against the founding fathers who had laid down 27 reasons why we declared our independence from a tyranny, from King George, against authority, against that is all good, against everything that is good and right, against the light of God, against the knowledge of God, against the ways of God. And let me tell you something, Jeremiah 18:7-10, this is what God says. If at any time I, God, announce that a nation such as the United States of America or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on the disaster that I have planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, but if that nation does evil in my sight and does not obey me, I will reconsider the good I intended for America. Think about it. We're going to continue this conversation in the next half hour. CTN, Christian Television Network audience, know you can catch us at VFNTV.com.
Don't forget to support our underwriters, Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Pools. I'm in Pensacola. Listen, visit Joyce. She has a national distribution. See them in Pensacola.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who
who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I'm Greg, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just continuing the last part of the talk about are we being organized? If we are, for what reason? And, of course, the conclusion was it's been happening since the days of the organization of Lucifer in heaven. And so what do we do about this? And as I was saying before, is that Dr. King set the great example for us to be able to do that. And right before we went to break, I was reading, you know, what God saying Jeremiah is Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. It's just kind of the context of that, because we're going to be talking about what do we do? What do? We have to understand, get the right perspective here. He says, if at any time I, God, this is Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10, if any time I, God, announce that a nation, such as the United States, or a kingdom that is to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, and in the nation, and if the nation I warn repents of its evil, in other words, God lets us know prophetically, he will send a watchman, and he'll say, okay, this is what's happened, you're about to be destroyed, you're not going to be a nation anymore, and I'm going to uproot you, and you're just going to be a memory in the history book. Mm. That's what it sounds like. Mm. And it's not going to be a pretty thing. Well, he tells us in advance so that we can change our minds. We can say, hey, God, I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. Mm-hmm. You know, and you say, you know, forgive me, God. And then you repent, which means the things that we're doing that God that led us to this place, we stop doing them. And he says, if we repent of our evil, then I, God, will relent. He will stop and not inflict on America the disaster that he had planned. And if at another time, God, I, announce a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, in other words, hey, the original tent was good. It's what I wanted. I wanted that to happen. But if it, like America, does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. So in other words, you hear people saying, well, God's got a covenant with America. Well, yeah, he does. But if we broke the covenant, we're going to be in trouble. Yeah. He doesn't break his covenant. We break it. Right. He has a covenant with Israel. Hello. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Then what do we do? What do we do when this storm and these things are happening? This whole activity taking place in front of me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. This is what God says. Because he just talked about this when this thing begins to happen. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people. Understand, this is just like Ezekiel 33 and 37, when he's saying, listen, you know, when I send a storm, when I actually do this, God, you know, Satan does not have one up on. He does not have one up on God. This is God's totally 100% in control. You have to get that perspective, because you'll find out down the road when we lose our nation that was the right perspective. And so God's saying, when I'm doing these things, when I'm doing it, he says, when you see these things happening, and he says, when I'm sending it amongst my people, so that's God doing that. He says, this is verse 14, if my people, who's my people, the one that he sent the devouring locust to, the one that the rain stopped coming down on, the one who is suffering from a plague. And I mean, there's plagues, there's stuff happening all over the place right now, just like it was prophesied by John Paul Jackson. And it's just everybody's got their head buried in digital addiction or something. It's like, look up from your mobile phone for a moment just to see that even NFL almost had to close down the other day.
Yeah.
Because of some sort of bacterial thing going on, reportedly. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So the very ones that we're receiving this discipline from a loving father, and we have to understand, consider hardships discipline. God's treating you as a son. He says, if we'll understand this paradigm and say, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, in other words, get the pride out of your life. How in the world could you have any pride in your life? But I'm telling you, it's amazing. There's so much pride. It's almost scary to talk about it because you think, obviously, God, I got pride in my life because it's just everywhere. God, help us humble ourselves. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that means abide with him, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, America. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's happening. I mean, this is God allowing this to happen. The darkness came in because the church allowed it, the absence of light. He says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive your sins. He'll forgive our sins. He'll forgive their sins. Mm-hmm. God wants to forgive you, but you got to show up to get it, and you got to stay with him and have reason that I want to be yours. And I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. He'll heal this land. Listen, if you truly want to be someone who cares about the earth, if you want to be somebody who's part of the Green Party, God is all into the Green Party because God says if we will deal with our sin instead of our politics, then he will heal our land.
That's right.
He's the one that heals our land.
Yeah.
And you think about that. So what do we do as Christians with this rebellion? Repent. Repent from my own personal rebellion against God. Call it what it is. If God says this is how your marriage should be, and you're walking your marriage totally different than it should be, change it. Change it. If you're not playing your role as the husband, repent and play your role as the husband. If you're not playing your role as the wife, repent and play your role as the wife. If you're rebelling against your parents, repent. Follow their leadership. If you're not training your kids up in the way they should go, you're pushing that off to some sort of government institution, repent. Begin to train your kids up in the way they should go. I mean, there's just so much on repentance, and we'll make that available to you. And then that's your personal repentance. Secondly, humble yourself. Humble ourselves before God, which means become totally dependent on him. Get rid of everything you're leaning on. This is different for everybody. Some people can have things. Some people can't have things. Mm-hmm. You give them things, they're bowing down to it, and they worship him. You give them a position, all of a sudden they're wearing it on their tag. All of a sudden you give them a car, and they can't stop talking about it. You give them money, and they can't even honor God with it. I don't know. Some people, you can give them millions of dollars, and they're the same person, so it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. It depends. If God gives you something, and you make it your God, you can't have it. Mm-hmm. Then begin to seek his face and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. His dominion in your life. His dominion. If you don't have God's dominion in your life, don't be telling the nation how to have God's dominion in their life. It begins with us. Revival, a third great awakening, begins with us personally saying, dear God, I want you to have full dominion over me. I want to seek your face. Pray. Abide. And if you don't know how to abide, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, and request your free simple plan today, because you need to begin to abide now if we want this nation to stand. We don't want God to change his mind over this nation and all of a sudden uproot it. And then be a Christian American. Not an American Christian, but a Christian American like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Be loyal to Jesus. Be loyal to those that are his, and love folks. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And realize God has allowed this nation to exist, and we can mess it up. We can take it down. And he can take it down, just like a mother would tell a kid, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. This is what God's saying to America right now. As a watchman on the wall, I brought you into this world, America, and I can take you out.
That's right.
I can take you out. Realize God exalts a nation and can humble a nation. Realize that God holds kings' hearts in his hands and directs it like a water course. Quit directing all your own words to a few group of 530 folks in Washington, D.C., and start directing them to your own heart, to your own home, to your own life, and say, dear God, it's me. I have sinned. You can change the heart of every leader if I'll just change my heart towards you. Realize that God gives us grace if we humble ourselves, but he resists us if we're proud. Realize you could be talking to a God who don't want anything to do with you because you're walking around in pride. He'll resist you. Realize that Jesus demonstrated this, as we talked about, exactly when he stood before authority. He knew that no authority existed except that which God has existed, and he knew that God would work with that authority that was right there when he was talking with him, and he just sought direction that morning when he abided with the Father, one who was the organizer of the day at that moment, and he said, this is the moment, this is the time. Now it's time to be the sacrifice. Mm. Listen, it's time for us as the church to demonstrate, to walk out like Jesus did. WWJD. What did Jesus do? It's time for us to answer the question, WWJO. Who would Jesus organize? And we know who that is now. It's the church. And since we are Christian Americans, we can look to fellow Americans, men and women who stood up in the context of this Constitution, Christians who stood up for God, that you can go back from the beginning of this nation and say, you know what? They stood up in the context of what's right. They didn't break any laws. They just stood up and said, listen, I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. I've read them now. I understand them now. I know what's going on. It's time for us to stand up. Listen, if you don't stand up, after bowing down before God, church, you will not have a nation. You will not have this what our founding fathers called an experiment, which God allowed to rise from the dust. 81%, 81% according to George Barna, 81%. Forget about reading the Declaration of Independence, church. Forget about reading the Constitution of the United States. You don't even read the Constitution of God. 81% according to George Barna. Don't even read the Bible. How in the world can you say that we're one nation under God and you hold your hands up at the ball game and hold your heart over, like you're pledging an allegiance to a nation, one nation under God, when you don't even read his Constitution, the Word?
Right.
So I'm telling you, get in the Word. Abide with God. Begin first, let the Word of God begin to deal with you. Only 3%. Listen, only 3% according to George Barna. Who are professing Christians are reading their Bible in the context of living their life by it. Only 3%. That's not good. That's not good at all. Needless to say, they obviously haven't read the Declaration of Independence or Constitution. Mm. But if you choose to read the Declaration of Independence first and the Constitution second, and maybe pick up the Bible, realize those are useless documents that'll be blown away by the wind. And then, as we're walking out and imitating those men of God, those Christian Americans that have gone before us, those apostles who stood up and led us to our better parts, who we are as a people, we begin to think about when Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 16, he says, in addition to all this, I want you to take up the shield of faith. It's time for us to have faith in God again. Faith in Christ in us, faith in knowing that God is the one that lifted this nation up, and it's God that will take it down. Therefore, we want to please God, so we're going to stand up for God in America. We're going to stand up for being one nation under God. We're going to repent. We went through the whole process, but now we're going to stand up with our shield of confidence, our surety and certainty, understanding what he said. When we do this, it will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the dark organizers, of all of the evil one. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, 81%, which is the Word of God. And we say, you know what? It's time for us to do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. And what I'm telling you, it is written. It is written that God will exalt the nation. It is written that when godly leadership is over a nation cheers and it's blessed and it's fruitful, but its teeth cringe when it has dark leadership over it. But understand this, God allows it to happen when we are in rebellion to him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent?
as God as our foundation. Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. As we're concluding, I want to be able to say right up front that we're finding out, oh my goodness, this makes sense. Now it's time for us to have faith. Mm-hmm. Such a gospel has been promulgated, you know, faith for stuff and things and my way and my will and my clothes and my car and my, it's faith to stand for God.
Yes.
Right. It's faith to stand in the lion's den. It's faith to stand in front of a fiery furnace and said, yes, my God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't deliver me, I'm sorry. I'm loyal to the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's faith to say, you know what? I don't care if this is all I have is the widow's mite left. If this is all I have, I'm going to be faithful to God in my tithes and my offerings because he's the one that blesses the work of my hand. It's faith to live your marriage right before God even when the partner in your marriage leaves you. It's faith to stand what's right as parents before God even when your children leave you. Mm. It's faith as a minister to preach the gospel even if that whole group of folks who call themselves the church resent you for preaching the truth and they leave you. Faith. It's faith to stand. It's not faith for things, ideas, stuff, and money. Come on. This is time to stand. It's time to stand up for God. Where is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where is Daniel in the lion's den? Where is a Paul? You know, where is a Peter saying, listen, I don't even want to look like that I'm being crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down. Where is James that was hung right there in the middle of Jerusalem because he stood for God? Where are these folks saying that they're believers and they stand? Listen, we don't want that to happen, but my goodness, if you just stand for God. And so here we are. When you heard Dr. King speak, he's saying, listen, I understand what Greg is saying. That's what he's saying. I understand. He says, listen, I might not get there with you. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's just I am right before God. I'm standing up before God. I answer to God. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I don't care. I don't fear no man. I don't fear no one. I don't fear any dogs. I don't fear what they can do to me. But he did do one thing. He feared God, and he stood for God, and I'm excited about the day you get a chance to go meet him and talk to him. But meeting him through his niece, we'll talk about a little bit later on, is a powerful thing. So what's going to happen to this Lucifer who Saul Alinsky dedicated his book to, Rules for Radicals, calling him the first radical, the first one of who he is, Saul Alinsky, who, by the way, our president taught it for 4 years, his tactics, who Hillary Clinton wrote her college thesis on it that's sealed to the day right now during this program. It's sealed to this day, to my knowledge, that you can't even read it. I don't care. You know, what can you, it's a different world back than it was then. But what's going to happen to this one that so many folks who are moving in the area of organizing the night? What's going to happen to Lucifer's children? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to Saul Alinsky's brothers and sisters and children? This is what he says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. He says, when a thousand years are over, Lucifer will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, Russia, Iran, the whole crew, will gather for battle. In number that they're so big, it's like the sand on the seashore. That many people will gather against God's people. They will march out across the breadths of the earth and surround the camp of God's people. The city he loves. Hello, Jerusalem. That's why they booed Jerusalem when we were talking about this. But fire comes down from heaven and devours them. What's going to happen? Just like when fire came down and devoured all of Jezebel and all of Jezebel's prophets, I mean, when Elijah called the fire down, the true Elijah, Jesus Christ, is going to call the fire down, and these flames are just going to lick across the earth. And all these Jew haters, all these, I hate Jerusalem, all of these ones coming against Israel, coming against Jerusalem, will be devoured by the flames. And then he goes on and says this. And this Lucifer, who Saul Alinsky dedicated himself to, who President Obama taught for 4 years, and who Hillary Clinton wrote an essay, a thesis on, this Lucifer, who deceived them, and that's what he's doing, he's deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had already been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, eternal torment. Do you really want to be organized by the night? Do you really want to be organized by the night? This is your end. Because not only Jezebel, but also her children, if they don't repent and say, you know what, I'm ready to be organized by the day himself. I am a child of the light. I am a child of the day.
You never know what people are going through when you pass by every day in town and you're going about your business. But it was an interesting story, guys. And if you heard this, what happened in Miami? But Jessica Robles was stealing food to feed her family. tons of food, a lot of food.
Yeah.
And a Miami-Dade police officer, Officer Thomas, was about to arrest this woman for stealing food until she found out the whole story. She could visibly see, she says, she reports that, you know, lady was hungry, the children were hungry, she had children were hungry. And instead of arresting this lady for stealing all this food, she goes, just move with compassion. I'm going to buy you groceries.
Oh, that's so beautiful, huh?
$100 worth of groceries.
Beautiful.
My goodness.
This is what Jessica Robles' 12-year-old daughter started to cry when the local TV station, I guess they got wind of this, and this is what the little girl says. It's not fun. It's not fun to see my brother in the dirt, hungry, asking for food, and we have to tell him there is nothing here. It's not fun.
Wow.
Well, that act of compassion, that act of just being moved by that, mm-hmm. it prompted a lot of folks in the community to give resources, and it wound up being close to $700 worth of groceries. It gets even better. The local grocery store owner actually offered Jessica a job. And so that they have food, they have job. It was all because this report says that the officer didn't kind of just go by the book, but just said, listen, I just want to do what's right. Mm-hmm. You know, my heart with compassion, you know, I could have done this, but I just want to bless this family. You never know what folks are going through. Don't get in a paradigm that this or that. Let God move upon you with a heart of compassion and look beyond the circumstances and say, hey, what can I do for you?
Yeah, even Jesus stopped what he was doing. Remember, he said, hey, I can't give the breadcrumbs. And he says, wait a minute. I'm changing my plans here. And the officer changed her plans. My goodness, let's do that. Links of kindness.
Yes.
Let's be links of kindness. And a big shout out to Joanne there.
We want to encourage you. Visit our sponsors and our underwriters. Shotgun Barbecue here in Pensacola, Florida. They have a wonderful meeting room, space, steaks, and voted number one Memphis in the Bay. Shotgun Barbecue. Also, the Coffee House, Navy Boulevard. Listen, when you have a business, a local owner here who's an owner-operator
in
who's
Pensacola.
Listen, standing for God, country, and Israel, and is serving cups of coffee to our young military professionals.
Get a sandwich with that, too, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. Breakfast, Coffee House, Navy Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida.
And don't forget, Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Pools. Give a shout-out to Joyce in Pensacola, Florida, also around the nation. If you need it, she's got a hot tub, and she can get it to you anywhere in America.
Wow. Thank you for supporting.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.